Bandwidth for the Weird Things podcast provided by WiredTree. For sites of any size and world-class customer service, head on over to WiredTree.com.
Hello and welcome to the Weird Things podcast. I'm Andrew Main, joined by Justin Robert Young.
Hello, friends. It's me.
And Brian Brushwood.
Brian Brushwood machine, zero defects. Definitely going to make it through the whole episode without running out and throwing up.
Good. Speaking of throwing up, let's talk about throwing up our hands with excitement. What technology are you guys most excited for? Let's talk about, like, you know, we have flying cars, the newspapers, we have AI, we have SpaceX reusability and Blue Origin reusable rockets, you know, self-driving. Let's give a time frame, because I think sometimes we'll get sort of, we'll have these debates, but because I say, within 10 years, what are you most excited about?
10 years consumer capability or a breakthrough?
Whatever that you think will affect your life in the most, be the most interesting, effect on your life in the next 10 years.
It's going to be within 10 years, it's going to be a fleet of self-driving Ubers, and maybe they'll bother to have somebody behind the wheel, but that's going to be awesome. That's going to be awesome and completely change the calculus of getting around.
Well, I mean, is it, does it really change the calculus if there's still somebody behind the wheel? Like, isn't like the big, like, price difference when there is nobody behind the wheel, because you can run so many more without that?
Oh, sure. Price? I'm just acknowledging that they'll still be in that hand-holding, you know, do we really trust the robots phase, you know? But I would imagine that along with that, you certainly, when somebody's allowed to read books all day while quote-unquote driving an Uber, my guess is that they'll feel okay about doing it for less money, thereby making it more affordable and more ubiquitous.
I don't quite get your. I want to be in an Uber with somebody at the wheel, but not driving, and it's driving itself.
I want it to be driving.
I think that's more his accuracy prediction. Right?
Correct. Like, correct.
Okay. I don't think that would. I don't think that financially works out at all.
To what?
Well, like, I mean, as far as, you know, whose car is it? Number one, is it Uber or is it the person who's not paying attention behind the wheel's car? And just from a point of view of, we're going to have, by the natural evolution of self-driving functions in cars, we're going to get to a point where people are going to be doing ride sharing, who are going to have cars with those features. But I don't see, I'm not saying, oh, you're wrong. I mean, I don't understand, or I don't see the economics or the advantage of, because, like, already, like, you're not paying them. It's hard to pay them less in many situations. And the kind of, I don't know how that really affects the quality of the driver. You know what I'm saying?
I think you misunderstand. Like, what I want is cars with no drivers. Do I believe that they will be everywhere in 10 years? Absolutely not. And since I was given a time limit of 10 years, I will be very excited in 10 years when we're at this middle hybrid stage.
I also feel for you, Brian, because anytime that you're like, self-driving cars, tomorrow, all the self-driving cars will be here and we will solve all the problems. And I'm very aggressive on it. We're always like, I don't know. Tomorrow seems a little fast. And you're like,
I guess 10 years will be on our way.
And we're like, I don't know.
What's the point then?
When you were talking about, you said, like, an Uber person who's, you get an Uber car and there's a person in there, but they're not driving it. Who's a driver person working for Uber, whatever, in a self-driving car. That was the part that confused me.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's where I think that's as far down that road as I think we're going to get within 10 years. But I am still, of everything happening, that's the one I'm most excited about.
Okay.
Old backpack McGirt here, but I feel like I'm going to have to follow Brian on this one. I do think self-driving cars specifically for, you know, I almost wonder whether or not there is something within 10 years that, like, you can look at longer haul stuff, like not necessarily even in the commercial sense with trucking and stuff, but you know, I've been going back and forth to Southern California over the past like couple months, right? I've done three trips for cons and stuff like that. And each time I've flown, and each time it's about, you know, $300 or something like that, all told. But I would love for there to be another option. And there was this company that like made a real big deal about doing an overnight thing to LA, that you would have like a sleeper bus that you would leave around 10, and then they wouldn't kick you off until like 8, but you would get kind of a more like as if you were on a rock star tour bus, that you would get that little pod to do. And I would, but the problem is that like there each way it's like $99, so I'm really not saving all that much, and I'm, you know, rocking a whole day on bus sleep. So I would love if that was cheaper.
Yeah, I don't know. Bus sleep is not bad. I slept very, very well on the bus. It's a giant white noise generating, gently rocking, comfort controlled jam. I mean, I don't know. I'd be down for that.
No. I mean, again, I think it's a very attractive option. I don't know if it's an attractive option for, you know, $95 to $120 each way when I can get a flight for that and I can be there in an hour.
Yeah. Is that really how cheap those flights are?
If you buy them at the right time, yeah. I mean, they're, because those flights run every 2 hours, and you know, it's just, I don't know. But I would be curious if, obviously there is a bigger problem with city driving, where you're constantly dealing with pedestrians and people merging, and there's a lot more chaos than, let's say, what the trip between San Francisco and LA is, which is getting on Interstate 5 and having that, you know, Google Maps or Waze tell you keep going for 5 hours. But that's where I'm curious, where if self-driving, if there is a license or an exception to be made, maybe for like people travel. Maybe it's something like that, where there is, it's a little bit more predictable than what we understand city driving to be.
You guys heard of Tesla Loop?
Yeah, that's the one that goes between Vegas and LA, right?
Yeah. They kind of decided they were going to capitalize on the whole idea of if you bought a Model S, you got free charging, right?
Yeah.
So what they did is, they basically built that into their pricing, with the idea is they're buying a fleet of Tesla cars and like, yeah, we'll take you back and forth because our biggest cost is, you know, somebody behind the wheel, where energy was effectively paid for.
Was Tesla cool with this business plan?
No, they changed the way things worked. They weren't too really thrilled with, you know, the Tesla Loop cars, fleets being parked like overnight and stuff.
It's like having your business plan be unlimited soda booth, and your method is to go in and buy a soda at Taco Bell and just keep on filling it and pouring it into your other mugs.
Yeah, pretty much. So let's throw, and I'm, you know, we've talked before about self-driving, and once you have self-driving, you get to have anything self-drive. Brian's going to have a party. He orders a tiki bar, and the tiki bar self-drives and shows up in the driveway, kind of thing. Brian's, you know, Rogue's, you know, Modern Rogue or Scam Stuff booth shows up at whatever cons he wants to, you know, and with the video screen, and Brian will make a live via video appearance. I love that idea. The thing, it's not just cars, it's everything becomes modular and transportable. On November 16th, 10 days from today, do you know what's being announced? What's being revealed?
What? 10 days from today? Man.
November 16th.
I give up. I got nothing.
My iPhone gets announced to me when my iPhone's supposed to show up.
Well, yeah. Tesla Semi.
Oh, okay, we've heard whispers and we've seen some screenshots, right? Some stuff teased. Uh-huh. I guess we get the full story on it.
We get the unveil of a Tesla Semi, for theoretically the plan, the rollout, maybe pricing, when they want to be able to start shipping these things.
Man.
So this is a totally electric powered semi that would obviously, probably because it'd be in Tesla, also have autonomy built into it. And they're looking at taking over our big chunk out of some of the short to medium haul trucking with this.
Hey, you know, on my trip up, when we did the Eclipse trip, I was really surprised. Nobody speeds anymore. Not, I mean, obviously some people speed, but truckers don't speed. And I guess it's because they all have GPS now and they're all on the clock and none of them can, you know, rely on having some meth to pull crazy, you know, 90 mile an hour overnighters to make more money and get around. But I guess I hadn't noticed that change over the last decade or two until just recently. And I guess part of it also is that ever since they, you know, back in the mid 90s when they started being allowed to go post reasonable speed limits, like in Texas, I think the state constitution says, I'm probably making this up, but that the speed limits have to be what 70% of the traffic is doing anyway. And so like over the last several, you know, couple of decades, it's been interesting to watch stuff creep up from 65 to 70 to 75. And now we've got chunks out in West Texas where it's 85. And it seems like all the trucks that I see were going right at the speed limit all across America.
That's cool. I wish they had those limits here in South Carolina yesterday. yeah, I think that some states are starting to be more sensitive. And Texas is a very, very forward about a lot of things like that. You know, one of the many reasons I admire Texas. So I think what's going to be interesting is with the unveiling of a semi, because with a semi, you could put other things in there. You could build a bus. You could build all sorts of other things there, too. And I think the feasibility of like, yeah, like that bus travel thing, like, yeah, it'd be cool. But like, yeah, you're like, it's like $99 because, well, you know, you break down your fuel costs, all this other stuff. And it's like, eh, it's not that competitive air. I would say that a thing that intrigues me that I think it's cool, but I've been dismissive of until I got outside of the LA area. And that is, electric cars, hovercraft, you know, flying cars and stuff. You know, in LA, I've had people like, oh yeah, flying cars, the future. I'm like, have you listened to a drone? You know, what do you think it's going to sound like with 100,000 of those in the air? You know, that's not a viable solution for in the city. That being said, you know, I flew to Savannah, Georgia, went to Jekyll Island, and then from there I drove to Hilton Head, and I'm like, you know, I could totally see a corridor, you know, in these areas here, you know, where you have, and I could see corridors in LA or whatever, you say, yes, you know, we're allowing along these corridors, we're allowing, you know, self-driving, self-flying cars or whatever, electric, you know, flying cars and stuff. I could totally see that being a possibility.
Yep. And in fact, there's talk, and, you know, this is all hearsay, but I was talking to Steve Wolf over at the Stunt Ranch, where one of the things they have at the ranch is they have races and dogfights and drone enthusiasts. And one of the things that they're talking about is the rumor is that Amazon's going to build all these distribution hubs that aren't on any major roads. They're not easy to get to. They're out in the middle of nowhere, but they're in areas where nobody's likely to complain about the sounds of drones coming and going at all times, you know, where it comes with the package, drops it off, sits there to charge, next drone grabs it, keeps on going, and all of a sudden in just three hops, you're able to get something from downtown all the way out to, you know, I'm almost 40 minutes, you know, southwest of town, even an hour with traffic, and all of a sudden it could be there in 15, 20 minutes. I'm out of prime now range, but then suddenly I wouldn't be if they were able to do that.
You know, and that's a very interesting area, because that's one of these, my knee-jerk reaction is, you know, it's the last mile that, you know, we talk about drones, but really how do you get it to somebody's doorstep? How do you do this? All that kind of thing. But, you know, it's like you point out where you're at and out of prime range, and then the idea of Amazon lockers and stuff like that. And it is sort of that, you know, it's that I want to be like, meh, I don't think so. But then I'm like, oh, you know, there are a lot of edge cases and stuff that may outnumber the main body cases. And you know, I looked at some hand, like Amazon had this patent they were filing for like a dirigible distribution center. Right. Which you're like, ah, that's hilarious how Jetson's like, it's adorable that they, you know, that they're just doing this for PR or whatever, because it's clever to do it. But then you're like, well, you know, we're already, I already spend half my day, you know, interacting with Alexa. We already have flying cars, you know, in the test, you know, capacity. What, who am I to say?
Yeah. Like I'll tell you what entertains me too, is there's a lot of fantastic places to live that are just too big of a pain in the butt to get from point A to point B. Like the you know, they're crappy back roads. The internet isn't as good as you like. The nearest grocery store is 40 minutes away. Once you go straight line of sight, once you go as the crow flies, you know, what is a 20 minute, 30 mile an hour winding trip to go to the grocery store suddenly becomes literally a 3 minute drone flight just to have stuff delivered. And it's, I like to try on the thought of imagining like, you know, probably within 20 miles of where I'm sitting right now is an awesome picturesque hill that, that nobody's building on because it's too far from all the other infrastructure. And yet once drone distribution makes it possible, you could imagine if you had a house and there was no road to it. Like you had the solar panel array, you had a well drilled and everything you needed, all of your regular sundry, you know, you had satellite, let's say that gets a little bit better, or some kind of radio based Project Loon or something. And then, and you just live on the top of your mountain and get all the stuff you need. And if anyone wants to come visit, you know, they just, they take a short drone flight up to you. That'd be pretty badass.
I think part of the reason why, you know, Elon Musk is excited about the Boring Project, the Boring Company, is that you, when you can dig these tunnels much more cheaply, is you can say, hey, we'll build your house. You know, we'll have some quaint little paths or roads, but we're just going to build underground roads to connect everything and maybe service tunnels. And, you know, you could build an entire suburb, you know, that's this Hobbit-esque, very serene kind of thing. No parking lots that are visible. And, you know, that's, I've used Skywalker Ranch as an example of, like, you know, this is where they've maintained this sort of pristine. You look at the Apple campus and, you know, it's underground parking garages.
Man,
it's like, let's put.
Now all of a sudden, that's a great idea, because now you've moved it from the idea of just something for the super rich to where, okay, maybe one person, that would be very expensive to go live alone on the top of a hilltop, but to build a whole Hobbit Shire and, you know, let's say it's still not cheap. Let's say it's, you know, $200,000 per person, but then you have a shared delivery, helipad, drone pad or whatever. And, that'd be fascinating. You could have people role playing all year long.
Somebody says, this is how you get the Morlocks. Remember, the Morlocks are the ones with the money in this situation, you know, doing this. You know, in L.A., you know, you have your neighborhoods and you have the service roads behind there, which is kind of interesting. You drive from road, you know, neighborhood streets, and then you look, oh, yeah, there's the back alley that connects, you know, all the houses butt up against, you know, and you start putting that underground, you know. Jake Cahoon says, why can't we get underground roads? Because they cost about $1 billion a mile right now for tunneling.
And so now, and do you think the Boring Company is going to see that massive? Oh man, I would love to know all the financials of how effective, how close SpaceX's reduction of all that stuff has been, and it'll be interesting to see whether or not, I don't know, we're able to make.
I think the larger kind of growth opportunity idea is, you know, I think Elon Musk has realized with SpaceX that there is a tremendous amount of money to be made by reducing, by giving cheaper solutions to gigantic problems. And something that he obviously has felt a lot of pain with. Brian, you, whenever I go to Austin, man, that traffic gets worse and worse because that city is exploding on an infrastructure that was probably behind its growth trajectory 15 years ago, let alone where it is right now as it becomes more and more popular. Look, it's hard to build roads. It's very expensive. It is very disruptive. People simultaneously want a million more of them, but don't want to deal with building them. So what if you could eliminate that pain point? And if we could get that to a price that is less, then it will always be the preferred way for people to increase getting from here to there, because you have to be there for it.
I mean, think about if you can develop that technology and there's a company that says, Brian, like, we can give you, you know, we can give you three floors of sub basement for $100,000.
Ooh, that's interesting. So build down instead of up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's that sounds like city living to this guy. which I don't know. That's
Add to your existing house. Like, we go to your house right now and say, "Oh yeah, I know what we can. Would you like an extra basement?" You know?
Oh wow, they just bore straight down.
Yeah. No, Brian, you're about to have two teenage girls and a girl younger than that. All the space at any price, whatever. We can just mint space, down, up, dirigibles, a bond layer below, whatever it is.
An underground garage that connects to the other.
Wow. Tunnel. Now think about this. Think about, like, you're doing this. You're like, okay, do you just want a basement or do you want an entertainment center? If you'd like, we can make a Vive room the size of your entire floor plan.
Brian, I'm just digging the tunnel holes for you. Do whatever you want. I'm just, listen, man, I'm digging the holes. You contact an interior decorator IKEA about the rest of it. I'm just saying, do you want the space, man?
I could enjoy that. I'm down.
If Brian had a full basement that was just a Vive room, he would next be seen 10 years later looking like Robin Williams in Jumanji.
Fair enough. I mean, that's the other thing too, is like, I don't even know how alone I'd feel, because I could Vive leave and go anywhere and have that feeling of exploring and not being a hermit.
Can we do a very, very quick sidebar before we get into our Patreon plug? Have we seen the Pimax? Are we excited about the Pimax?
Certainly in theory, I don't really have a sense of how much bigger and better it is. But it certainly sounds good. You want to describe it, Andrew?
All right, let Justin jump in. Since he started it, let him.
The Pimax is billing itself as the world's first 8K VR headset.
It's two 4K displays side by side.
There we go. I'm glad that the voice of the ever-present neckbeard was there to explain exactly what that was. But it has a wider field of vision, a sharper field of vision. So you are eliminating two of the things that I think. Even as much as we evangelize the Vive over the Oculus Rift because of the room scale, is still a problem where field of vision is limited and you still have a screen door effect. What this hopes to do is to give you a wider field of vision with a far sharper image.
And what's the amount what they want it to cost per unit?
I don't know. On Kickstarter, it
looks like $350, the early bird price, and then
$400 for the Pimax 5K basic Kickstarter special. Oh, but the 8K is $450 for early bird. No, $500.
Yes, yeah. The answer is yes, yes, yes. I played. You know, I told you I did the Void. You know, which is the destination based. You know, I did the Ghostbusters. You know, they have their opening up one in Anaheim in Orlando at Disney where you play Star Wars. And the Void's a cool destination-based VR where you go from room to room. You actually physically walk, vibrations and stuff. And I'm like, great, this is using two-year-old Oculus Rift technology. I have screen door and a very narrow field of view. And that was frustrating. And my argument has been that the problem with destination-based VR is that you're going, like, IMAX is doing this. And we talked about that a couple years ago, like the idea that movie theaters and stuff might try to do this. But, like, here's an example of the state-of-the-art destination-based. And can theoretically, in 2 months, 3 months, I'll be able to have something that's got way better resolution, way much larger field of view.
Yeah, I guess here's the exciting thing about this, because on the one hand, like, man, VR has not exploded on the software side to the extent one would hope. The biggest titles are pulling in like 5,000 sales, you know, and part of it is that there's just not enough people who have that technology installed. But what I'm hopeful is, like, when the is it Pimax or YMAX? What is this?
Pimax. The life of Pi.
The nice thing is that you can buy this Pimax and instantly retroactively upgrade all of your existing programming that you have. Yep. All of your games suddenly look more vivid, more amazing, more realistic. And it's sort of like, you know, every time you buy a new phone or get a bigger screen, nowadays everyone has gigantic screens, but I remember going from a 14-inch monitor to a 17-inch monitor, and it was like every single thing I do on this computer looks so much better now and is so much more richer and engaging. And I'm very glad to see high-end races to this flight to quality in VR.
And then it's only like $500.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd say, oh, it's only, but I mean, it's we're used to, oh, to go up to this HD level thing, it's a $5,000 thing or this or that. But the idea that for $500 that you're increasing the thing, our biggest gripe with VR is field of view and screen door. And now all of a sudden, you know, it's a 200 degree.
This one does have room scale similar to Vive.
It looks like it. They're calling it laser tracker.
Okay.
Yeah. Room scale. That was when I'm like, guys, you got to do room scale. Room scale. Room. You're like, yeah, no, room scale. Okay, I'm exaggerating. But it was like, you talk.
I think that happened. I think we were very excited.
But it's like, but you've talked to people and you haven't done room scale, and they're like, no, I've done VR. Like, have you done it? Like, I've done Oculus. No, have you done it like Vive with room scale? I'm like, yeah, you know, kind of. I think so. You're like, no, you know.
Yeah,
it's a total, an absolute a game changer.
Yeah.
It's like the eclipse. Like, oh, I saw a 90% eclipse. No, you didn't see anything.
I saw it. It kind of got dark. I held up a pinhole and I saw a moon shape. Yeah, sure. Did a push-up, ate an egg.
What is it going to do with
moon shapes? You know what else is moon shapes?
Tell you what. We are going to need $500 a piece to each buy one of these, and the only way it's going to happen is if y'all pony up the cash. So head on over to patreon.com/weirdthings where you can support this show each and every week, folks. No matter what, Brian and Andrew are playing hurt right now. You think they're going to show up for free? No, they're going to show up because you support us, not only with all the awesome feedback that we get, but also with your cash. If you got a few pennies hanging around, consider throwing it our way at patreon.com/weirdthings.
Yeah, speaking of which, since we have two injured players on the bench, we're going to skip Journey Quest this time, but we will be back in full force next week with the rest.
Listen, I think we have to skip Journey Quest because I feel like we are at a very pivotal moment here. Like, stuff took a really weird turn last week, so you guys are going to have to wait with bated breath for one more week before we see what the hell's going on.
Should we take a moment and just strategize? Should we reassess? Can we recap where we are and just sort of talk through? Not actually do anything.
No.
Okay. All right.
Next week.
So I have an idea, and it's not an original idea to me, but I'm going to take credit for this.
Sure.
I love to live stream. I love to do this. But right now, like, I'm like my face, like I'm having this allergic reaction. So like I'm beet red. I'm in this, you know, dingy environment, not the best place. Sometimes I want to live stream, let's say drive. I would love to drive and host a show, but I don't want to drive and host a show and be like looking at camera and be like, hey, everybody, let me, you know. My thought is this, okay? Imagine if you can make an avatar of yourself, like a really good, realistic avatar of yourself that's pretty photorealistic. And then it could just sync itself to your voice as you talk. Max Headroom, like.
Well, wait a minute. Isn't this awfully close to what we have with the new iPhone X?
But Brian, we need a technology to capture our face in 3D and depth and stuff and be able to follow and mimic along, Brian. We're not there yet. You need to take like a Microsoft Kinect device, shrink it down, put it on a phone.
All right, listen up, buddy. I can talk and I can wink, sorta. Hey, there we go.
You should probably. Oh, jeez. There's a disapproving fox.
It's even able to capture the smugness, like testing the limits of what it can show is pretty amazing.
What I'm kind of shocked about is how viral it's kind of gone just over the weekend as the first wave of these X's hit, and who knows how much how many legs it has, but the idea of these, you know, I'm going to sing karaoke as an animal seems to be something that people want to do, you know, and are doing a lot.
And I'll tell you what, there's times that this is actually a problem that is.
Hey, by the way, you want to know what else is a problem? Is you actually, this is the second time I've gotten a smug, disapproving fox from you.
But this time I'm winking.
This is your favorite thing to do.
Yeah, that's my spirit animal. Out of all of them, is the one I like the best. But this problem was actually predicted on the Jetsons, of all things, because, you know, being in the future of the 1960s, they had video chat. But then Jane's like, oh, I just got up. I look terrible. I don't want to do this. And so she presses a button, and it drops just this fake face in front of her. And meanwhile, the gag was that the person on the other line also was, you know, had her morning curlers on and all that. So it's like there's a lot of us not using video because we don't want to be – you're not on. You haven't put on your face. You haven't shaved. You haven't – you know, whatever. Now I could see it being totally socially acceptable to just all the time, like just go straight to FaceTime. And then you always have a wolf head or whatever. And of course, you know, you've got these default cute animojis from Apple, but you know, somebody, like when Bitmoji is going to get their paws into this.
God, yeah.
Can you imagine Bitmojis?
I mean, I will say though, props to the Apple team, because those things are so expressive. They really are. You know, there's a reason why it is super, super funny to hear them, you know, hear people sing like Daddy Yankee's Gasolina or Bohemian Rhapsody. Like it is just a testament to the best of animation, where you're reading into an unreal object because you feel its realness.
On Brian's point, 1000%. I think we're going to see very, very soon the customizable, the Brian emoji, that's the Brian Headroom, you know, version of this, the funny thing that you can send to your friends and stuff to do that. But I'm all for, we use our, and that was something Bryce and I talked about early days when we're working on, like, trying to think and play with, like, Journey Quest and other ideas of, like, how could we, like, animate what we're doing.
Oh my gosh, we flip a switch and then suddenly we're in the environments and we're that's amazing.
And we could, and you could just, now it's very easy to pick up keywords and stuff, like, oh, you know, we're in a dark cave. Boom, dark cave. And then there's the 8-bit version of the really cool animojis of us. We're going to see this in months. We're going to see, like, animoji yourself. And we're going to see probably social networks and things like this. And I could see that it could be a very big thing on Twitch and other places, where I'm just going to throw my animoji up there because I'm, you know, I'm like this right now. My nose is running or whatever. Or I'm in my underwear and I want a live stream and people want that visual element to it. And because it's actually mapping to the face, it's not just a dummy just going meh, 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 meh. It's, your fox was you, Brian. I looked at that's. I've seen Brian give me that expression.
Well, and you realize, like, when we get to the Bitmoji level, you can decide what era. Like, people are always joking about bring back spiky haired Brian. I can just answer the phone looking 10 years younger with that crazy whacked out hairstyle and everything. And have a whole conversation and have it track perfectly.
Oh my God, I could do an animated version of that picture from college where I look like a weirdo. I mean, like, if you can facially track old pictures, that's a whole, like, social network, right?
Yeah.
Like,
well, they've had the software Real Illusions had some really good, like, animate, like, you know, you take a photo. Real Illusion has really good software right now for taking a photo, adding 3D points to it, and then animating that, right? Which looks pretty realistic, you know, pretty good. And I think that we're now really good with AI that, yeah, we'll take a few of your photos and stuff, and we'll give you the old version of you. And this is an app thing. This is just a matter of an app developer saying, let me do this. Let me figure out where the value of doing this is. And it's there. And I love the idea because of it opens up a lot of things for broadcasting. Of course, the scary thing, too, is we add that with, hey, just build a profile of how I do my face stuff and all this. Now let's add in Adobe Voco, where that takes your voice samples. It can create entire, you know, make an audio version of everything.
Yeah.
And I think that before we get to the full-on AI presenters and stuff like this, you know, we might get, hey, I'm going to write a piece, and then I'm going to have Adobe Voco have my own voice put out a podcast episode that I never narrated, but it's going to use my best narration ever to sample from to then create, you know, an episode.
Yeah.
So what is the magic sauce then with – is the magic sauce in why Animoji is something that people are responding to and is kind of visually like, okay, that's different. Like that's not just a random picture that I is my voice is behind. I feel like that is Brian Smug Fox shaking his head slowly. Is that the software or is that the hardware? Like, is it magic because it's in your palm, or if and when they debut that Animoji technology as a photo booth kind of suite for Mac or other platforms, will it be just as popular?
Man, I wonder.
I guess you need the face sensors though, right? Like that's what makes it rad.
Well, but there already are versions that work just on a webcam, right?
Yeah, you can do there. Yeah, like Snap and other people have done versions that are good. I think the thing that pushes this over the edge is the use of that the IR dots, the hyper-realistic, the Apple getting it. If you make it slightly better, you pass this uncanny valley. And one of the reasons why, like, I think the Snap, like, spectacles, one of the many reasons spectacles failed, besides just being a dumb idea, was there's no immediate gratification in using the spectacles. We're here, as Brian's recording, Brian's watching this fox mimic him, you know, and you're getting immediate feedback. You watch this, they're fun to make.
Do you think any, oftentimes a lot of this technology is driven by adult interests. Do you think there are any persistent live streamers that that use this as you pick from the menu which version of the girl you'd like to?
This is an amazing dance you're doing. You are trying to walk very gingerly through a minefield.
I mean, I'm thinking that could
you're
be
for a few tokens more.
Exactly.
Would you be able to have the face of the online companion that you would like? Mm-hmm. Anywhere from a goblin to a ferret.
That's the question is, because I was thinking like, well, in the near future, that seems like that would be popular for someone. But I wondered if somebody's already doing it now. But I guess if nobody's heard of it, then
I'm not quite sure what you're talking about, Brian. Could you be a little more specific?
You want me to say it? I could. You know what? I can't. But this fox can. Hold on.
That's the way to break bad news.
Yeah.
Bad news monkey.
So you pick it up and it's your doctor, only he's got the wacky unicorn face, and you're like, oh crap. What's the news?
How amazing would that be? It's like a flash forward a couple of years when Penny goes off to college that she's going to be accepted or rejected with an Animoji of the school's mascot. Like the big longhorn. You got in! Hooray! We welcome you with our incoming class.
Oh, I wonder also, as speech generation gets better and in real time, you're going to be able to have like I'll be able to speak with a perfect. I'll speak exactly like I'm talking right now, but it will become a perfect Cockney accent or speak in perfect German with all the right fluent affectations and everything. That's got to be within 5 years, right?
I think with Adobe Voco and what a lot of stuff that Google's pushing, which is great, the Google real-time translation stuff, like we're going to get into this thing where it'll be very easy for us to create these avatars, these really I like the idea. What I loved about Animoji, as I said before, is the idea that I could start to map my face, things like this, and then I could just live stream without having to worry about where I was against, what I was shooting up against, whatever, because, you know, oh, that's Andrew. It's Andrew's animated avatar, but that's his facial mannerisms, that's his tics, it's him doing those real time. But, you know, and we you know, and it gets into a lot of cool stuff too for photos and videos too of like digital makeup, all sorts of other things. And yeah, nothing's real anymore. We get that. We're past that.
But you know what? And I'll say, and this has been, it's getting less courageous for me to say this than it was 10 or 15 years ago. You know, 10 or 15 years ago, it was still fairly common for people to say, playing all those video games all the time, go outside and play. Why don't you make friends or whatever? And I always maintained that the memories are real. The friendships are real. There, you know, the three of us, I mean, outside of, you know, certainly all almost all of Weird Things has been quote unquote virtual. Like we don't actually hang out. We just have a phone call once a week. We can't really be friends or whatever, but it's like all that's going to happen, you know, it's like 10 more years. We're going to be in an enchanted park and I'll be a dragon and Justin will be like a squirrely muskrat and Andrew will be a woman. And it's
10 years, Brian,
and it's going to be as real as anything else. As you know, when you're 80, that memory of that experience would be as real as anything else in your life.
This is going to be a great team, though. Lady Andrew and Muskrat and the Dragon.
Right. I imagine I'm wearing like a barbarian metal bikini kind of thing.
Oh yeah,
There is only one. There is one character we haven't mentioned, but I don't know if he's contractually allowed to join us. Can we go into picks?
Sure.
Can we get a little bit spoilery about a certain movie?
Do we want to do that for After Things?
Let's do that. Let's talk about Thor Ragnarok for After Things.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's do a whole after. Yeah. Let's do that.
But Thor Ragnarok is your pick.
Can I do a plug? Can I pick my own plug? We released a brand new thing. Every year we do one really, really big project at Scam Stuff, and this year it's the Outlaw's Vault. It's the biggest by size, the most complicated by puzzle, the most in-depth by story, the most intricate. It's the best puzzle box thing we've ever put together, and it's concurrent with the brand new Outlaw's Crimson deck of cards. If you haven't seen them before, you get two premium high-end decks of cards that are originals from us. You get a numbered challenge coin, and for anybody who picks this thing open, just tweet me a picture of your challenge coin, and I will reply to you with a video message congratulating you, because this one's really, really tough, and it's got a hell of a story. I'm really, really excited about it. And that's awesome. It's scamstuff.com.
I love what you're doing. I love the quality of stuff. I don't know if you saw that I retweeted the plasma lighter.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And you're like, I didn't even know those were a thing until now.
And I got people who bought them. They're like, they saw my enthusiastic retweet of this. I got people buying this now. Didn't know that was a thing either. Like the double X. That was very cool. But like you guys do great stuff. I love the fact that you're able to do themed story, all this sort of stuff. I don't think that was possible 10 years ago.
Correct. Well, you know, without it being hugely capitally intensive. Like, do you mean we couldn't, or we couldn't afford to, or we didn't have the skills to do that?
All of the above.
Okay. No, that's true. That's true. Because each time it's like we're shooting higher and higher. And I think it's safe to say this is the best, the best single thing we've put out in the history of the store. I'm really, really stoked about it.
In our 10-year prediction, I predict that you're going to have the Rogue's Lounge.
Oh, like all digital releases where it's
and a place like a place like an actual real time digital place that you go in your vibe, you go wherever. And there's maybe a library there of stuff, and there's the screening room, and there's people hanging around and talking about this stuff.
Televisions with channels. You just flip through all the podcasts that are running.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the weird things on the TV and so on.
But like thinking like what the Magic Castle does or Soho House or something like that, you know, really like that was what they tried to do in Second Life, but those experiences sucked, you know. You know, you had to be in a borderline vegetative state to find something enjoyable about that. Whereas as augmented and virtual and all these other forms of reality become better and looking at like the Pimax and all that, hey, you know what? I want to learn this move. and I've got this thing that's capturing all of my body motions. Why don't I go to the Rogues Lounge and see if there's somebody else there that can show this to me?
Yeah. No, there is. I mean, as the fidelity on that continues to get more and more impressive in the tracking. I mean, if there's one thing that we can see now, if you can do what you can do right now with the Animojis, then we are not far away from that kind of tracking continuing to just make a photo realistic, like, oh, here's a hand. And you know, magic is something that obviously I think we all sort of wind up kind of falling back to. But, like, I think that's a brilliant application to be like, hey, I think I'm mastering this thing. I wonder if somebody's hanging out right now that I could show this to.
Oh yeah, and the ability to do that sessioning with that fidelity, it's amazing. It's Snow Crash happening in real life. I am so happy that I read that book so long ago that just bit by bit, like one brick at a time, we're becoming an anarcho dystopian nightmare.
That's a great way to cap off a fairly exciting segment about technology. Hey, my pick, I spent all weekend at BlizzCon, so my pick is, you know, anything from Blizzard. I really, this is the first time I've ever been to BlizzCon. Blizzard is a company that I've always kind of admired by from afar, but the con they put on, man, was the most intricate and well-run convention I have ever been to. They are a company that knows exactly who they are. They know what gets their fans excited, and it was a blast. I remember when we were doing Game On, you know, when I was writing it, the big question was, will Blizzard survive? They're hemorrhaging users from WoW subscriptions, and you know, what'll they do? There's a lot of pressure on the next game that they put out. And you look up at that banner as you walk in, or sorry, the banners as you walk in, and there are six. WoW, StarCraft, Diablo, Overwatch, Hearthstone, and Heroes. And three of them came out in a year and a half period that has so redefined their company that I asked somebody there, like, oh, well, what are the Blizzard, the WoW subs? And they're like, oh, they stopped reporting them. Nobody cares.
Wow. You know? Wow.
Because that's no longer how they make their money. They make their money on these other games that have totally revitalized their company. And I was very happy to be there. I had a chance to be a part of the Angry Chicken and interview a few of the Team 5 guys who do Hearthstone. And they were awesome. Just a great experience. Big rubbery one for Blizzard.
My pick is, and I'm curious to where Warcraft is going to go once VR and everything else comes full circle.
Oh, you know? All of a sudden getting to relive Azeroth and the world of Warcraft, like from a brand new perspective. Yeah, that'll be extraordinary.
Yeah. My pick is, I've mentioned the show before, Red Dwarf, and they started like 1988, 1989. They brought it back. They've got a new season running on in Britain on the show Dave, on the series Dave. You can get it on Amazon Prime if you subscribe to the Brit Box, which is like, you know, $8 a month or whatever like that, which gives you a bunch of British shows. They've had a couple episodes this season that were, I thought, you know, maybe the whole thing wasn't amazing, but a good part of it was just outstanding. If you like Rick and Morty, I highly recommend it. You know, in the show, if you're familiar with the series, they have this robot Crichton, who kind of is sort of their servant kind of person. And they have an episode where the Red Dwarf spaceship gets abducted by a ship full of robots. And it's the Mechadroid Intergalactic Liberation Front, MILF. And they're these revolutionary mecha droids who decided to liberate Crichton. And what they've done is they've converted the crew into robots like Crichton, which is great because finally you see all these actors in Crichton-like makeup and all that, which was a great, funny, funny episode. A lot of funny stuff in there. And then they had an episode that just came out this week, which was the setup is this, is they're getting ready to, they think the ship is about to blow up or whatever. So they're trying to abandon ship. And as they're like getting ready to loading things onto the escape pod, the escape ship, one of the vending machines, and the vending machines talk, you know. They're like, oh, well, when are you loading us up? And like, we're not bringing you. You know, like, what? Like, oh, no, like, we're just a central crew only. And they're watching them, like, load, like, guitars and stuff like this. Like, wait, you're not going to save us?
But you're taking guitars?
Yeah, and then it ends up being a false alarm, and then the machines revolt, right? So the machines revolt and turn off all the power, and then the crew says, you know, well, we need to give them representation. So there's only, like, there's Lister, who's the last human. There's Cat, who's this, you know, the cat that's the evolved form of a cat that looks like a person. There's Crichton, the robot, and then there's Rimmer, who's the hologram. There's only four crew, and they decide they have to have an election between the four of them to represent the machines. And so you get a campaign, you get an election on board the ship with negative ads, all this sort of stuff taking place as they're trying to win the support of the machines. And Rimmer, you know, decides he's going to be the populist candidate and makes all these sort of promises to them. That privately they're like, well, we don't have to, you know, actually deliver on these things. And I would say it was a parable of maybe recent events in Britain, but not on if it was done on the BBC, I think it would have been done differently. I'll put it that way.
Yeah. So, but not really heavy handed though.
I mean, I think all across the board, like, I would say that it was very much, I enjoyed it immensely, you know, and I thought it was one of the best pieces of science fiction commentary I've seen in a long time. And just how do you comment on something as big as the Brexit and elections and everything else like that? And it could have been about American politics, too. That's the beautiful thing is you could walk away with whatever you want from this. But I thought it was very, very, very well done. And I enjoyed it because it was really comedy sci-fi at its best. Reflecting on current events, but in a different sort of point of view and not just trying to preach to you or reinforce, you know, what our betters think.
That's great.
So I highly recommend that episode.
It's safe to say that all of us are very excited to talk about Thor Ragnarok. We're going to talk about that in After Things. We're going to get spoilery as heck.
Yep.
And by the way, if you're just listening to the main feed, don't forget that you could get both After Things and Weird Things in the same RSS feed if you are a patron. Otherwise, you got to find that separate feed and listen to those separately.
Yep. It's been weird.
The Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.